Today, on The Journey.
Sometimes when we have fallen, we have that conflicting emotion, don't we? We've got to be close to Jesus on one hand. And at the other hand, we're ashamed. And we're wondering, will he take me back again?
Do-overs, thankfully, are a common theme in Scripture. We stumble into the mire only to look up and find the hand of Jesus ready to lift us out. In this program, Rod Moore encourages you to look up and find your do-over through the example of one of the Lord's closest friends. First, I want you to know about Ron's free audio resource, The Solid Foundation. In this challenging sermon, you'll discover how to build a life that stands the difficult tests of time. The Solid Foundation is available at ronmoore.org, and I'll tell you more about it later this half hour. Now, here's Ron with the message, Failing Forward, a Second Chance on the Journey.
Today, we want to look at a passage of Scripture as we end this Grounded series that talks about second chances. That wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you may have fallen and you may have fallen miserably. But by God's grace, there is always a second chance. And it's just not that person who falls miserably, because we're all going to do that. Every one of us need another chance when we have fallen. And we need to get back in a meaningful relationship with Christ. It's not that we've lost our salvation if we're a true child of God. That can't happen. We're a child of God and forever will be. But we can lose fellowship with Him. We can lose the connection. And there are times that we are desperately needing a second chance. Take your Bibles and open them to John chapter 21. Verses 15 through 22, we're going to see an intimate encounter between Jesus and Peter at a time when Peter was trying to recover from one of those spiritual troughs. Let me set the context for our passage. Peter ended his time with Jesus in tremendous disappointment. He made these strong claims that he would go with Jesus even to death, and then he publicly and passionately denied the Lord three times. When Jesus was led away from the garden by the soldiers and into the makeshift trials that put him on the cross, the gospel writer Luke says that Peter followed at a distance. It was a cold night before the crucifixion, and Jesus was being tried inside of a palace area, and in the courtyard, they started a fire. And Peter was there sitting by the fire with others keeping warm. The firelight lit his face, and a servant girl said, "Hey, that guy right there, he was with Jesus." And you remember Peter said, "Oh, no, I don't even know that guy." A little while later, another person said, "That man was with Jesus." And again, Peter said, "No, I don't know him." About an hour later, another man said, "That guy right there, he was with Jesus." Luke chapter 22, verse 60, Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed, and by this time, Jesus was coming out of the palace, and the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Can you even imagine? And then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and he wept bitterly. And that's how he ended his time with the Lord before Jesus was crucified. Things are different now, though, when we get to John 21. After being crucified, Jesus is placed in a tomb, and then he rose from the dead. And to this point, he had appeared to the disciples on two different occasions. He had shown them the nail scars in his hands. He had shown them the wound in his side. However, he didn't stay with the disciples. It's interesting, in the 6 weeks after the resurrection and before the ascension, Jesus appeared to people on 10 different occasions. But he didn't stay with them. He would leave for two reasons. One, he wanted to continually remind them, to show them that he was alive. They were going to carry this message, and he had to let them know, and they had to know in their heart that he was alive. And then secondly, they had to know that he wasn't going to be with them in physical presence. He was going to ascend to heaven. He appeared to the disciples right after the resurrection, then about a week later, and then he told the disciples to go to Galilee and wait for him there. But Peter waited long enough, and he got antsy. John chapter 21, verse 3, Peter says, I'm going out to fish. I can't keep just sitting here waiting on Jesus. I got to do something. And there were six other disciples with him, and they got in the boat, and they went out, and they were about 100 yards from the shore when a person called out to them, but they didn't recognize who he was. Verse 5, he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And he said, then throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. At that point, John, the gospel writer, recognized Jesus and said, it's the Lord. And Peter couldn't wait for the boat to turn around and get to the shore. He jumped in the water, scripture says, and swam those 100 yards back to the shore to see Jesus. But something interesting happens there. When he gets to the shore, Jesus is there, but there's no conversation. He can't wait to get to Jesus, but then he holds back. Sometimes when we have fallen, or we become disconnected, or we've sinned again, we have that conflicting emotion, don't we? We've got to be close to Jesus on one hand. And at the other hand, we're ashamed. And we're wondering, will he take me back again? Will he give me a second chance? Again, a third chance? Well, Jesus had started a fire on the shore and he was cooking fish and bread. And finally, the other disciples arrived in the boat. And when they arrived, Jesus said, bring some of the fish you've caught. And it's interesting that Peter is the guy who goes back onto the boat and drags in this big net of fish. And it's there that Jesus, in this third resurrection appearance to the disciples, prepares breakfast for 7 hungry disciples. It seems from the text that there was a strained silence during breakfast. Again, Jesus had appeared to the disciples 2 times. There was that awkward meeting with Peter and Jesus on the beach. But Peter hadn't had a conversation with Jesus, at least a recorded one that we know of, after he denied Jesus 3 times, after that third time when he saw Jesus look at him straight in the eye. And he's got to be wondering, as a lot of Christians wonder, will Jesus give me another chance after I've blown it? After the meal, Jesus is the one who initiated the personal conversation with Peter. The other disciples were there, but Jesus spoke right to Peter. Look at verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord. Peter said, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time. The word means grieved, distressed. What do you think that third time reminded Peter of? Yeah, those 3 denials. Around that fire in the courtyard, and now around the fire on a beach. And Peter said, Lord, you are omniscient. You're God. You know my heart better than I do. You know all things. You know I love you. And then Jesus said, feed my sheep. I want to stop there, and I want to spend some time making 5 observations about the process of a second chance. Something has happened in your life, only you know what it is, and you have drifted away. Maybe it was a blatant sin, and you are struggling with that. And you want to come back, but honestly, you're not sure Jesus will take you back. Some of you, you walked with Christ for a long time and things were great. But now you say, man, I just feel disconnected. Wherever you are, Let's talk about this process of a second chance. Here's where it starts. Second chances are initiated by a fresh experience with Jesus. Remember, after the crucifixion, Peter didn't think he'd see Jesus again. But then he did. He saw him alive, and that changed everything. And now he had the opportunity, as Jesus was there right in front of him, to have a fresh experience with Jesus. Second chances are only possible, by the way, because Jesus is alive. The road to second chance is renewing the reality of God in our life. One writer says, you know, when we sin, it's not that we deny Christ, it's that he becomes not as real to us. And we want him to be real in our life. The second chance begins with seeing Jesus in a fresh way, a fresh experience. And I want to emphasize, I'm not talking about being a Christian again. If you're a believer, you cannot lose your salvation. Second chances call for fresh obedience. Peter was the leader of the apostles. He was a strong personality. He was a strong, rugged man. He was a fisherman. His hands were calloused and torn. He was tough. Before Jesus went to the cross, he told the disciples, here's the deal. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to death, and you guys are going to scatter. And Peter said, you know what? Not me. The rest of them may run, but I would never run from you. In fact, Jesus, I'll die for you. And Jesus said, no, Peter, you're going to disown me 3 times. And Peter said, no, you're wrong, Lord. In Mark chapter 14, it says, Peter emphatically insisted, I will die for you. But you know what happened. Spiritual pride has a way of coming back to bite us, doesn't it? And here by that fire on the beach, in verse 15, when he finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And then Jesus adds these biting words, more than these. What do you think that took Peter back to? Yeah. Even if the rest run, I won't. Jesus is saying, Simon, you remember when you insisted you're going to stay with me no matter what? Simon, you remember when you emphatically insisted you would die for me even if the rest ran? Simon, tell me now. Do you love me really more than these? Look at Simon's answer. Yes, Lord, now a humble Peter, you know I love you, but he doesn't say any longer more than these. Sin always begins with pride. Pride was the cause of the fall in the garden. I want to be like God. Pride was the cause of my last sin, and pride will be the cause of my next sin. When I fall into pride, I always put myself above God and others. Here's God's instruction, but I really don't care. I'll do it my own way. Here's how God tells me to treat others, but I don't feel like it right now. I'll do it my own way. Pride is always the catalyst for sin. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, so if you think you're standing, if you think you can't be knocked over, just be careful that you don't fall. People suffering from spiritual pride think they're at the peak, but they're really in the trough, in a dangerous trough. So a second chance is a fresh obedience, a fresh humility. Number 3, a second chance calls for fresh service. Each time Peter says, you know I love you, Jesus calls Peter to get involved in other people's lives. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs. Jesus uses the vulnerable, wobbly-legged little lamb. Jesus says, Peter, come alongside those who are vulnerable because now you know what vulnerability is all about. Come alongside those who are young in the faith, Peter. Come alongside those who are immature. Come alongside those who may not have it all together. Come alongside those who don't know their way around Scripture like you do. Get involved, Peter, in people's lives. Get involved in people's lives even when it's messy, because little lambs make messes. Get involved in their lives even when it takes patience and work. They're vulnerable, Peter. Feed my lambs. One of the best ways to renew your love and connection to Jesus is to disciple new believers. Their faith is fresh. It is raw. Their energy is contagious. They pray like they're really talking to their Heavenly Father because they haven't learned the Christianese yet like we have. Man, it'd be good if we could unlearn that language, wouldn't it? Feed my lambs. Take care of those who are vulnerable. Take care of my sheep. Jesus says the second one, do you love me? Yes, I do. Take care of my sheep. Protect each other. Have one another's back. Satan roams around like a roaring lion seeking who he's going to devour. And he's going to attack us from behind if someone doesn't have our back. That's why the Christian life cannot be lived alone. Do you love me, Peter? Yeah, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Nourish others. Get them in the Word. Talk to them about Christ. Nourish them on their journey. At 38 years old, Navy SEAL Chris Kyle was among the military's most accomplished sharpshooters. He was also a best-selling author, writing about his time in combat. Kyle spent time back in the States working with ailing vets. He didn't suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, but he knew a lot of guys did, and he wanted to interact with them. And he knew that for a vet to hang out with him, Chris Kyle, a hero, would be uplifting. So when Jody Rao reached out to Kyle to help her 20-year-old ex-Marine son, Eddie Ray Rao, who was having a hard time adjusting after spending time overseas, he was more than willing to help out. Besides, they had a connection. They both graduated from Midlothian, Texas High School, 14 years apart, but they had that connection. On February the 2nd, Kyle took Rao and his friend Chad Littlefield to a gun range in Glen Rose, Texas. Again, all military men loved the opportunity to go shoot with this renowned sharpshooter. And when he was there, he would talk to them and help them and encourage them. But that day turned tragic when Rao turned his guns on Kyle and Littlefield and killed them both and then drove away in Kyle's truck. Chris Kyle survived 4 tours in Iraq. But that day in Texas, when they weren't supposed to be among enemies, he was shot and killed. And when I read that story, but I thought about Christians. Hey, we're not supposed to be among enemies, guys. And we got to be a place where sinners can come and be vulnerable. Again, Jesus meets us where we are, not to leave us there, but to encourage each other and build each other up. Feed my lambs, Peter. Feed my sheep. Protect my sheep. That's what the church is about. Anyone who has a second chance should be the last person to judge another person who has fallen, shouldn't they? And by the way, anyone who has a second chance, that includes every one of us. Number 4, second chances call for fresh sacrifice. Look at verse 18. To Peter, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. I love that. Jesus looks right at Peter and says, I want you back. You're going to be critical in the kingdom. Peter, there are going to be some times when you're preaching the gospel wherever you want to go, whenever you want to go there. But I also got to tell you, Peter, there's going to be a time when you're going to stretch out your hands. Now, the early readers would know that meant crucifixion. Peter, you're going to die on a cross. That's the kind of death you're going to glorify me by. But Peter, follow me. Second chances call for a renewal of sacrifice. And it's hard sometimes. We got to leave some things behind. We got to sacrifice some things in our life. And maybe time and maybe resources, relationships. But following hard after Christ means we keep our eyes on him. Scripture doesn't tell us how Peter died, but Eusebius, the father of church history, cites a testimony by an early church eyewitness named Clement. And Clement says that Peter was crucified under Nero's persecutions in Rome. And Clement says that before Peter was crucified, his wife was executed. And as he watched his wife go to the executioner, Peter called out, "Remember the Lord." And then when he got there, he told those who were going to crucify him, "You know what? Jesus died right side up. I can't deserve that." And so at his request, Peter, according to Clement, was crucified upside down, head downward. Now I got to tell you, most of us here are not going to be asked to honor God with our death, martyrdom. But we have to be willing to. And here's the deal. I can't waste my time wondering, would I have the courage to go to death? That's a hypothetical. If that came to that point, I know God will give me whatever I need and give you whatever you need. But here's the question. It's not, would I die for Christ? The question for us is, will I live for him? Am I willing to make the same sacrifices every day? Am I willing to put down the garbage in my life that's holding me back, that's got an anchor to my soul, and follow hard after him? That's the question before us. Second chances call for fresh sacrifice. As Paul says, putting our bodies on the altar as a living sacrifice for God. Number five. Second chances demand fresh focus. Look at verse 20. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. It's John, the writer of this gospel. Look at verse 21. When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Peter, you must follow me." Comparing ourselves to others is always a losing proposition. We're either going to see ourselves ahead and pride sets in, or we're going to see ourselves behind and discouragement sets in. Comparing ourselves to how God is working in someone else's life and becoming envious or jealous, it puts us in a trough. Jesus said, "You don't worry about that. You have each other's back. You work together. But if I bless this person and you don't feel like you're receiving that blessing right now, you keep your eyes on me. You follow me." Look at those last four words. Peter, you must follow me.
Please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. How sturdy are the underpinnings of your spiritual dwelling? When the winds of adversity blow and floods of disappointment rise, will your house stand? It will, if it's built upon the bedrock truths outlined in Ron Moore's audio resource, The Solid Foundation. In this challenging message, Ron shares the four reasons a firm footing is necessary for a strong spiritual residence. He also takes a look at the three biblical virtues that are required to meet the heavenly building codes. Learn and follow them so that you can withstand the inevitable storms of life. Your free copy of The Solid Foundation is available on CD or as an MP3 download with a visit to ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org, or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Rather than teaching a young person about sexuality as this is what you should not do, to give young people an understanding of how their experience of sexuality is actually part of their love for God.
We hope you can join us for that next time. And remember that a free copy of Ron Moore's audio resource, The Solid Foundation, is waiting for you on CD or as an MP3 download at ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. And watch for the discipleship materials from this series coming this fall. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.